Hello, and welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast, the only program for horse lovers who have a fondness for horses and film, art, and literature. Each week, we will have interesting conversations with equestrian filmmakers, artists, and authors from around the world, discussing the nature and challenges, as well as the triumphs of creating their work. Ready to talk horses and film and the arts? Here's your host, Julianne Neal, along with Lisa Dearson, festival founder and director.
Hi, welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast. I'm your host, Julianne Neal, and I'm here today with the director and the founder of the festival, Lisa Dearson. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing today?
Hi, Julianne. I'm doing good. We're just trying to keep our social distance.
Right. Well, we usually start off the podcast talking about the weather, but I guess there's an elephant in the room that, you know, as we figure out our way to get through this whole coronavirus thing, that sort of takes precedence over the rest, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure your weather is much better than ours. We're going back down into the 20s tonight, so.
Oh, holy moly. It was 83 here yesterday, and it's supposed to be 86 today. So
yes, go ahead, rub that in.
Sorry. But yeah, at least we are able to get out and be with the horses, and I know for you guys up there that's a little bit different probably. So
yeah, it'd be interesting on Facebook. Maybe I'll put a post up to see, you know, how everyone's barns are handling it. Our barn last night just we'll be sending out an email today telling everyone how we're kind of going to be going into every other day visits to the barn so that they can spread out people coming in and out of the facility so that, you know, to keep it safe, It safe for everyone visiting, because if our people taking care of our horses get sick, you're lucky because your horses are at home, but since we've had to move into a boarding situation, we have to have other people at the barn taking care of them. And I want to make sure that those people stay well and healthy, because if we can't be there, we have somebody there to take care of the babies.
Exactly. And I know for me, that's like your moment of sanity, is to be able to go out and be with the horses.
Oh, for
sure. So.
I know. I mean, when they said we have to go to every other day, I was like, what do you mean every other day?
Oh, gosh.
These horses are like my kids. It's one thing for people to be, you know, homeschooling and in quarantine with their kids at home, but, you know, Amori is enjoying all the one-on-one time, but the horses, that's a tough one going down every other day.
I can imagine. And it's like this new reality for us. I take my hat off to the nurses, the doctors, the delivery folks, the vets, and that was what worried me too, is that, you know, gotta make sure we keep them all healthy and safe.
No kidding. And now, you know, all the new heroes that are out there, everybody complained about people wanting a minimum wage, but here we are. Who's our front line right now? The people stocking the grocery store shelves, and I don't know if it's the same way by you, but here it's almost like you're walking into an apocalyptic scene, going into the grocery stores or seeing the lines. And, you know, we have a little local grocery store that puts up a Facebook post every night showing how they're stocking the shelves and come in and they're making deliveries, and they're everybody's doing their part, but it's everybody. It's not big money. It's the normal everyday people are doing their part. And, who would have known that truck drivers would be our big heroes?
Right. You know? Exactly. And one of the sort of semi amusing things as a teacher is that we're doing distance learning now, e-learning. And for the parents who are staying home with kids, some of them, not all, but some are realizing just what teachers go through. So they're going to appreciate
us
a little more. But I'm appreciating our bus drivers, because they're going out on their regular routes and delivering the food. So so the kids, the rural areas, so that the kids have something to eat for lunch. So, you know, you never realize until something like this happens what all you're going to appreciate.
Well, and the statistic that now they're tossing around, that somewheres up to 88% of our population, 78 to 88% of the population, literally lives paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. That reality is coming home to everybody, and
right.
everybody needs to appreciate. You know, and it, I think the fact that the entire world is going to be in the very same situation that we're in right now, the whole world will recover at the same rate. It's not like one country is going to be better off than another country. Everybody is at the same place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It will make a difference. Coming back from this, and we will come back from this, and hopefully we're going to come back from this as a better humanity and caring more about each other and appreciating everything
so.
A little bit more. I hope that's my hope that's what happens.
Mine too, exactly. Well, the one thing I can say, we've been off for a little while from the podcast, and so it's great to be talking to you again. But it's funny, we sort of were on a break because I was organizing the Camden tour stop for the film festival and taking my kids, planning a trip to take my kids to New York and all kinds of stuff going on. And so I was off for a week, and then it became two. So now talking again, it's interesting because Camden, thank goodness we went ahead and made the decision pretty early on to postpone the festival tour stop, because Camden is the epicenter, they say, of the South Carolina outbreak. And so we've been keeping up with our sponsors and our supporters and everybody who's involved with setting things up, and just trying to, you know, keep them safe and keep them in our thoughts. So if everybody will do that. And I know our episode today, we're going to be talking a bit with Jody Deagle and the folks from Soul Harbor, and they were also scheduled to do a tour stop coming up. But what's the status of that one?
Well, they were going to be doing a little Winnie Fest on a Sunday afternoon in April. And after the Camden Fest, and we've gone ahead and canceled that, much to Josh's dismay, because Josh was going to be able to go, and we were showing a pony and his boy, and it was going to be, you know, one of those Josh mm-hmm. gets to make his big presentation. So Jody's going to be rescheduling that sometime at a later date. We've already moved a couple of our other events mm-hmm. into the summer months, but it's kind of sad, because these fundraisers are getting pushed, but that we'll just have a better time at them when we do have them.
Exactly.
And on a good note, we're still, you know, I've been in conversations with people now, because we started this Host a Winnie Fest, which is hosting our 2-hour collection of film. And we've got 6 different themes now, Women and Horses and A Taste of the Fest. And we have a Western theme, then an English theme, and a wild horse theme. And then we also have Healing Horses and all these different nonprofit groups and horse. I found a lot of the horse councils are, you know, in conversations with me now, and we're booking these for the summer and the fall and the winter, all over the country now. So, that seems to be a nice, you know, fun thing, because people are still wanting to, yes, get together as soon as this mm-hmm. this goes away.
Right.
But another good thing that people can do now, is since we're having to stay inside, is sign up for our on-demand platform, the Equus Film Channel.
Exactly.
Start to watch all our horse documentaries and films, feature films there.
Right.
There's a lot of content going up, and every day we're adding 1 or 2 more films, so you can have fun at home and keep your mm-hmm. horsey fix going.
Well, that's the thing. Our tourism department here in Camden is a big part of the reason we're able to do our festival week, and they're already sending out things for the tourism partners to submit ways that they can do, you know, virtual tours of their places or whatever. So I've already told the Classically Carolina folks, yeah, we're going to be doing some pushes for the Equus Film Channel. And if you couldn't see the films in person, here's a way you can start watching them. And I know you've been putting tons and tons of more new content up. So there's a lot to see. So if somebody checked it out, you know, a couple of months ago, they need to come on back and check it out again and just see what all is there, because you got a lot of movies.
Well, we have so many new things coming on from all over the world. So that's a lot of fun. And you can learn about horse racing in South Africa now, which you didn't get a chance to do before. But there's just so many different things, different ways that people are stepping up to the plate. I saw that Clybourne Farms had a virtual barn tours they're doing. They're walking people through and introducing them to the horses. And
oh, cool.
So, yeah. And so they've set up a program online where every day they're doing a different part of the farm and introducing different horses. And so it's kind of, you know, I love the creativity that this is generating for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing is, the rescue efforts still go on, you know, where there,
exactly.
There's still things, there's still people doing all that. I brought my kids in last year to the adoption center here in Camden, and we made a little movie. The students created little films about the animals that were there that are up for adoption. And so we heard from that organization a while back about, you know, can we do something like that again? So we're still trying to figure out ways that even if the kids are at home, that, you know, we could do something. So it's always fun to see what creativity comes out, because you're stymied with one thing. Figure out a way to do something different.
Well, right. And what people should remember, we're living through history right now. Document everything. You know, mm-hmm. Start taking notes. Learn how to be, you know, make your own story as this is happening.
Right.
Nothing like this has ever before happened in modern history.
Well, the cool thing too, we had students at the Broadway Student Summit when Broadway closed. And so we turned around and flew back home. But we got emails immediately the next day from the musical director of Hamilton that was supposed to teach one of our classes. And, you know, he said the same thing. Send us your films, you know, film yourself at home and tag us or whatever. Right. And so that's just kind of what we've been trying to do with the kids, is say, you know, this is your chance. This has never happened before. Make your mark in a different way. If you can't do it in person, do it a different way.
And so this is different than 9/11 or other big events that have happened, because it's unfolding daily. Things are changing, but it's ongoing, and we're all having to learn to live and adapt and
do something.
Live with this now.
Well, the good thing, I guess, is that we still have some audio from the interviews from the Equus Film and Arts Fest, and we have artists and filmmakers that people haven't heard from yet. So I guess my goal is that every week we'll bring in two or three of those and give everybody something new and different to listen to, at least if they're stuck at home. Maybe we can share
fun.
Some stuff. Yeah, there you go. So we'll keep doing that.
Be able to listen to our podcast and the Marley podcast. And if you go on to the Equus website, we're now setting up a page dedicated to different podcasts that are out there. And we've also opened up podcast competitions in the Equus Film Festival. We've added podcasts as well as the books and the art.
That's great.
And so as new podcasts are being entered into the film festival, the links to those podcasts are being placed up on our website. So if you're looking for some good horsey podcasts, you just have to go to Equus, click on the podcast page, and you can find a whole bunch of fun,
really
interesting
cool.
horse podcasts.
Well, and I'll put in a plug for Winnie Tales, because we just did interviews with Mimi Rahor of the Wild Horses of Abaco. And it's really interesting to hear, you know, of course, the last of the breed was already gone. And so there was a whole cloning discussion going on. But then with Hurricane Dorian, it changed everything for certain. So we've got two episodes where we do conversations with Mimi, and a kind soul donated another vessel for her. I never know whether to say boat or what, but gave her a new home, and she was living, you know, in the bay there at Treasure Key, I think. And so it's kind of interesting to listen to what all she has to say. So if you can listen to something, listen to Winnie Tales. Yeah.
You two crack me up. I really, really enjoy those podcasts, especially
Thanks.
When the rooster's on the porch.
Oh, gosh. Well, it was crowing just a minute ago. I'm inside today, but it was crowing a minute ago. So I thought, yeah, we're going to carry that over to the Equus one, too. But and like you said, the other thing is if you're stuck inside, read a book. We've got a lot of those. You know, you can go on your website or the Equus Film Festival Camden website, and some of the authors who were supposed to come to Camden, Susan Abel and Candace Wade and who else? Pamela Jeffers and a new Equus author, Robin Williams. Their books are all on Amazon, so you can
right.
still read.
And we have a whole page set up on the Equus page with links directly to the Amazon. You can go there, look at all the different books, the authors that over the years have entered into Equus, and you can click on the link and it will take you directly to purchase those books.
Wow.
And then Amazon will bring them right to your door.
That's great. Well, all that was just a shameless plug for all of our Equus folks, but yeah, did
well,
it anyway.
It is for our authors. I mean,
yeah.
I love the authors who have entered the film festival. And as we get new books, just like with the podcast, we're putting those right up right away so that people can find those books and find those authors and find mm-hmm. those art, you know, the artists in the podcast and be able to connect with them.
Definitely. Well, we'll give opportunities for everybody to get their horse fix, even if they can't do it for a little while outside. So anyway, for today's episode, we've got Daphna Yakin, who's talking a little bit about the Great Flip Off. And we have Thomas and Wade Balsamo, who did the films for Soul Harbor. And we're going to start off the conversation at the Equus Film and Arts Fest with Jody Deagle from Soul Harbor. So how's that sound, Lisa?
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure people are really going to enjoy this. And Jody is such a pleasure to talk to. And gosh, she just does so many amazing things with those little mini horses and mini donkeys. And they go in and just change people's lives and bring smiles to faces of kids going through all kinds of horrible things at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just bring a little ray of sunshine in the form of a mini horse.
That's
with
great.
With cute little sneakers.
And she had Mystery and Unique with her at the fest. And so, yeah, that was awesome. So we'll kick it off with Jody. I'm so thrilled to have you all in. We're at the Kentucky Horse Park, the beautiful visitor center here, and I'm introducing Soul Harbor.
And our nonprofit Soul Harbor Ranch Animal Therapy Program.
Now, you had two little companions with you all day today. I don't see them in here now, but they probably wouldn't be very loud for the podcast anyway, right?
They might throw a few whinnies in there.
Mystery?
We have mini whinnies.
Yes, very cool.
Our miniature therapy horses are Mystery and Unique that are visiting with us here at the Kentucky Horse Park.
And we're thrilled that your filmmakers came into town today. I know you were excited they were coming as well, right?
Very much so.
So we have Thomas Balsamo and Wade. And I know there's a family connection there.
He is
so
my father.
I guess it just runs in the family. Is that right?
We have a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, welcome. Welcome. Could you tell me, first of all, a little bit about what you guys do? And then we're going to go into the Soul Harbor and the story, the film that you're here with. Maybe, Thomas, would you start us off?
Sure. Yeah. For many years now, we've spent a lot of our time and energy doing social cause films and, you know, films that matter. We've done a lot of still photography as well for a lot of different causes. I've done a lot with autism and Down syndrome, started out in the world of special needs, and it's kind of then evolved into a lot of different other topics.
Mm-hmm. I read that you had some projects that were the face of the Autism Speaks movement.
Yeah, we did quite a bit of work back in, you know, several years back with we work with Toys R Us on the Faces of Autism campaign. We raised $6.5 million for Autism Speaks.
Oh, wow.
That was a really great project, yes.
Absolutely. And so was Wade part of all of that
Wade was
campaign
a little,
as well?
Wade was a little young at that point.
He was a little younger.
A little kid,
yeah.
Huh?
But, 10, 11 years ago or so, I mean, I had always grown up surrounded by cameras, and I had done a little bit of editing in school and that kind of thing, and my dad had this opportunity to create a documentary about a different equine therapy program for Walk On Farm.
Okay. And now, you had a background with another film.
Paracasa.
Yes,
that one. That was our first
So that was your jumping off into the film. Yes, art film. Exactly.
Wade had wrote the script, and he asked, you know, Dad, what do you think? Help me do a weekend project. The next thing you know, we ended up doing like a three-year project.
Oh, gosh.
This episode of the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast is sponsored in part by Nature's View, The Marley Project, and JA Media Productions. To learn more about what we do, visit naturesview.us.
We were looking for somebody to tell our story and the magic that our horses could bring. And, you know, there's people that can just shoot video, and then there's people that can tell a story and are true professionals. And so they're really artists, over and above what many people are able to do. They've been able to do it in a way that really evokes emotion and makes people feel it in their soul.
Yes. Well, I know last night there was a little bit of a preview, and folks came out of the theater just after your film and tears flowing. Right. So, yes, the power of your minis. So how did you get started with that type of work?
You know, I'm a nurse, first of all, and that's my profession. I'm also a big animal lover, and I started with dog therapy. And in 2011, I saw an ad that said miniature therapy horses. And I said, what is that? It was online. And the next thing you know, I'm scrolling through and seeing people using miniature horses as comfort animals, just like my comfort dogs. Fast forward, started a nonprofit. And now we've grown from 3 miniature horses to 10. We have 4 mini donkeys in training. We have 4 dogs, 2 certified therapy dogs, 2 that are in training. We have 35 volunteers, including 11 additional volunteers. Through Barrington High School, we started and mentor the Soul Buddies Animal Therapy Club. So we mentor students with our therapy animals. We visit with many different populations, from the elderly to those that are disabled to differently abled. We do many community visits, so we get to share them with able-bodied people, and not just going to a nursing home, for instance, but we share within our community and outside hospitals. It's very unexpected when we're in a hospital and the doors to the elevators open and out come our little horses.
Absolutely. Well, and they were at the party last night inside the welcome reception, and they had their little shoes on and all that.
And they were so relaxed.
Yes.
People are quite amazed at how kind and calm they are. But that comes with a lot of training and also with a lot of experience of the handling.
How long does it take? I mean, if you bring in a mini and you're just starting that process, how long before you feel comfortable?
6 months. So they're registered through a national therapy animal organization called Pet Partners. Mm-hmm. And so each of us are being tested every 2 years with each animal that we would like to handle. So I've tested with all 10 of my minis. We have a total of about 23 volunteers that are registered handlers, over 65 combinations of registered teams. It could take 6 months. It could take 2 years. It really depends on the animal, their age, their personality. So it's really quite an incredible journey when you watch the animals go from not knowing anything and being timid and afraid to when a wheelchair or a tarp is coming at them or people running. And,
right.
And then they're so calm when we walk into a film festival and their cute little legs are cocked in the back because they're so relaxed and confident.
Now the donkeys, is there a difference in the donkeys and the rest?
Yes. There is something true to being that said about being as stubborn as a donkey.
Donkey, yes, yes, definitely.
But they are very affectionate. They're very different than horses. They are much more like dogs. They're leaners. They love to have their butt scratched just like dogs do. So we are training them to become registered therapy animals. They just take a little bit longer.
Is there a certain scenario that you would say this one is more appropriate than the other? Are there personalities involved in that choice?
They're just people. I mean, and are all different animals. All of them have different personalities. Some are more used to going into really big crowds and loud noise. Others prefer the quiet environment of a hospital. So we really tailor when we go out on a visit. We usually take two minis at a time, and we decide what, you know, it depends on who the registered handlers are, what horses we bring, what that environment is going to be like. Mm-hmm. So it really varies from visit to visit. We try to rotate all of our animals so that just one horse doesn't go out, and we rotate all of them in.
Right. Yeah. And you found some special filmmakers. How did that process happen? How did you find these guys?
Yeah. Well, we're from Barrington, Illinois, and amazingly, there is, through our Barrington Area Community Foundation, which offers grants, we were at an introductory grant meeting, and I had seen some of their work, and before I left, I actually sought out Thomas to get his card. Thomas and Wade were both there together, but I think I just saw you, like, I don't think Wade was there, and I asked for a card, and the next thing you know, when we got a grant, because that's what we were waiting for.
Right.
We don't charge for visits. We rely all on donations and, you know, grants and fundraising. So when we got that grant, I knew that the next thing was to tell our story. And the professionalism and, again, emotion that I talk about is mm-hmm. there. When you saw those people crying when they walked
yes.
out last night, it's because they felt it. They felt the emotion and connection and magic of our animals.
And that takes a really special person or team to be able to come into a really highly emotional situation like that and step back. How do you start that? How do you plan that?
Well, I think, you know, we have to gain people's trust if we're going to be in an environment with them where we have cameras, and where we have done a lot of live action work where we've had large crews. We for a situation like with Soul Harbor, we needed just a very small crew, a couple cameras. Try to be like a fly on the wall and just capture what's happening. And we do connect with the people, and so they feel comfortable with us, and just kind of flow with it, and the magic happens. And, you know, our tagline at World Touch Productions is we leave lasting impressions on hearts and minds, and having a group like Soul Harbor Ranch to work with is just a total joy because of the amount of love that that Jody has started, and the team, it's just been contagious to the whole team, and amazing group of volunteers, and there's so much love in their hearts, and they believe in what they're doing, where they can you can just see it when they bring one of those little horses into like a hospital room with some, like we went into Loyola Medical Center to the pediatric ward, and some of those kids are there 6 or 8 months, and we were in one room with this little girl, and we were in there with the cameras rolling with her for a while, and then the horse just started coming down the hall, clip clop, clip clop, and the little girl just lit up. She goes, "The horse's feet!" And she just became alive. And so she's been dealing with some pretty great health issues, but for a few moments when visiting horses, the miniatures, she just forgot about all of her problems and became a kid again. It just really, it just lit up, and it was, you know, it's just an amazing. So it's easy for us to capture that kind of emotion when it's happening.
It's real, yeah. But then the problem to me, you get all this footage, all these things happening. How in the world do you go back and edit down and figure out which pieces you're going to use? Yeah, you end
that's
up with
Wade's,
this 2 minutes.
That's Wade's.
So that's
gift
Wade's part
and
of
his
it?
Talent. And how many
wow.
hours did we have?
We had over 26 hours of footage.
26
oh
hours.
Oh my gosh.
So, we had at least 7 scenes there, and it's just this. The sense of how do you simmer that down into,
right.
And how do you connect all these different dots so that the viewer goes on this journey where they know what it's like to be in that room with that person when the horse walks in the room and they make that eye contact for that first moment, and like there's that electricity in the air, but to be able to like see that in somebody's eye, and that was kind of our I guess our challenge as filmmakers is we need to not interrupt that magical moment.
Let it happen.
Letting it happen in a way that is so natural that it's almost as though the cameras aren't even there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in some sense, you can't deny that whenever you have a camera in a room, it somehow it changes something and everybody in the room, but yet, you know, I mean, there's at one point where one of the patients who was getting a visit, he made eye contact with the camera, which normally is something that I would normally cut that out, you know, right away, but like, he made eye contact with me because I was bawling. I was crying. I can imagine.
We both were.
Yeah, how do you not?
Well, we often do cry at
the whole group.
But that's okay.
Say, yeah, you know, if we go into hospice, isn't it sad? Well, a visit may be sad, but we're there to bring joy and love and laughter and smiles. And I always say that that's the true healing.
Yes.
You know, we're honored to be on the other end of that rope. And it is very emotional and very, looking, you've got tears in your eyes even thinking about it. But, you know, again, that is, we are so lucky to be able to do this kind of work because of the animals that we have, and then to bring this group into to make it come alive for more people to see.
And for the person, but also for their family. I mean, what you're doing, bringing that in, but then the gift of being able to look back at that from your phenomenal work, that's a true gift.
And that's where we needed somebody to tell that story. And again, we are so grateful, because it is incredible. And we hope everybody has a chance to watch it and cry.
Yes, yes.
We do give a Kleenex alert.
I should have brought one in here now, but that's okay.
Well, the truth comes out in the editing room. There was some tears as well as we were making that film. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have an editing team. How many people?
Wade's are pretty much
Wade's
our
main editor.
He gives my second set of eyes.
I mean, he's the main editor. He pushes all the buttons, and I sit there with him.
So you get to make the final decision.
But the first cut, he insists on doing that himself. So he did 26 hours pretty much straight through. I think I didn't see him for 3 days. He didn't come home. He stayed in it. He sleeps on the couch for a couple hours in his office, and I bring him food.
And do you have like a process of marking where things are and remembering where this, I want to come back to that footage, or do you do it?
So my process, I'm very much like I lead with my heart. So if I feel it when I see it, then I keep that footage. Mm-hmm. And if I'm watching something and I'm not feeling anything, then there's no reason.
Get rid of it.
But that's part of my process is that I do have to go through every bit of footage that we've captured, like in one go. I can't come back a week later.
Right.
Because then you can't remember. I have to figure out, how do I connect all of these? Because I kind of simmer it down to, these are all the most emotional moments that have happened while the camera's been rolling for, you know, 26 hours of rolling time. Mm-hmm. And how do I connect all those dots? And I have to like really fit everything into my mind all at once, and then just...
That's an artist.
Yes, it is. It really is.
An art and an artist.
And then really all the extras, the music, the everything else. Yeah. So what's next? What happens next? Is there a plan for more? Is there... What are you going to do?
We do have longer versions that I've been playing with in the edit room. I've got a 15-minute version.
Okay.
Well, we're hoping to be able to take it and continue on and do a longer-form piece. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a couple of years we'll have it here at this film festival.
Very good, yeah.
But you know, we really do need
grants and that, yes,
to be able to mm-hmm. make this happen. And we believe that we will find the people who believe in what we do and will support telling this story. But we need the help of more people, you know, to come forward. We just have made some amazing connections here at the Equus Film Fest, and I know that our next journey of after just meeting some people will be with veterans. We'll be doing more with veterans, and these connections happen here at the Equus Film Festival, and where the next piece goes,
I don't know,
but it's going to happen.
So are you a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit.
So
we're
people
a 501c3
can...
nonprofit.
Great.
We're at soulharborbranch.com. Again, both of us are in Barrington, so they're with Rural Touch Productions. And I could not recommend filmmakers any more than the two of these men. They're very amazing.
And so if someone wants to see it, do you have the film out on your website? Is it available online?
Yes. The 7-minute version is at our website under media. And again, it's soulharborbranch.com. We also have it pinned to the top of our Facebook and social media.
Great.
So you can go to Soul Harbor Ranch.
And if they want to find you guys online, what would be the best way? Do you have social media going too?
Yeah, worldtouchproductions.com is our website. We also have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And we're in Barrington, Illinois.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much for the day and for giving us this time to tell our story.
Absolutely. It's been very special. I was thrilled to meet the ponies last night, the minis last night, and now thrilled to meet you guys today. And
We'll see the magical minis here, you know, throughout the film festival.
Absolutely. And we'll look forward to next year or the year after when the long one comes to town.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
The listeners may have noticed we have some new music on the intro to the podcast. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? It's from some music by Peter Prince.
Yes, Peter's been part of the festival for a few years now. He is the songwriter behind the Cobra Wild World Champion music video that we had as part of the festival. We took it to the World Equestrian Games. Cobra, as you know, is the wild Mustang horse that was the national champion. He's done all kinds of things. He has all kinds of credits to his dressage career. And Peter wrote a beautiful, beautiful song about him. And so that, of course, won a Winnie Award. And you can find a link to that on our website on the Equus page. And then Peter has written a beautiful instrumental for us to use for the podcast called Wild Horse Serenade, Believe in Me. And it's an instrumental, so it'll be a beautiful lead-in and a very nice exit for our podcast now for a tough few months here.
That's great. Well, as he describes it, I'm reading what he says, has a hard driving beat with a cool electric guitar and harmonica track. So I love that. And it's great to have that instrumental to be able to use for the lead-ins and everything on credit. So special thanks to Peter Prince.
So the person that I'm getting ready to speak with is one of those people who's inspired me for several years now in many ways. And I'll say that she's a friend. She's a fantastic filmmaker and has a wonderful background in all types of filmmaking. And I'm excited to see what comes next.
That was so nice, Julianne.
Thank you. Daphna Joaquin, thank you for being with me today.
Well, I'm excited to be here. It's this herd that helped me finish the film because I don't know if it wasn't for the pushing of Lisa and everybody and you guys, and it inspired me to finally finish this film, The Great Flip-Off, because I was going through some personal stuff with my family and I didn't know if I could have the time to finish it. And Lisa's like, no, you have to finish this for 2018. We need to show it.
Yes.
And she was so right. I don't even think she realized we had to do it by last year because it was the 250th anniversary of the circus and the 225th anniversary of the American circus, and the end of Ringling had just passed.
Right.
Ringling shut its doors. So Lisa's push, Lisa Dearson's push is really, and you guys, your inspiration in helping us finish a feature film that then got picked up by Gravitas. So we were very lucky to have it featured here. Thank you.
Well, I think the order was, I did see it all the way through for the first time when we were at WEG. And I was able to actually meet you there and meet Alicia, one of the stars of the film.
Yes, Alicia
Perla's
Open.
And to hear your story, yes. And I heard, you know, that you started this because, or the whole project started because you were going to do a pilot television show, and then it just morphed into something different. And so the background behind all of that was amazing. So the great flip-off. Yeah. Tell us about
Well, we kept with it for 10 years. The Great Flip-Off started as, it was supposed to be a pilot 10 years ago that we wanted to pitch to Animal Planet. But at the time, they kept saying, no fires, no horses. And it was just this, it was kind of this lie in television. So they had bad ratings for a couple of shows, and then they panicked. And once one executive development person panics, everyone does. And it just was a silly reason not to have horses on television and or shows of fires that did great, have done great. And so the Turveys inspired me. I met them doing an absorbing commercial about 11 years ago. And they had this idea to do a show about horses all over the world and the great riders and extreme riders of Mongolia, of Latin America, of the circus. So we realized we wanted to do a pilot. And the one that we could do that was easy to do, Karen said, well, we'll get a couple bareback riders to come to Arabian Nights. And I think this was December 2006. And I said, okay, if you can get them, I'll get a crew there and we'll try to shoot this pilot and see if we can pitch it. Well, the circus had just announced the closing of the Three Rings, and the Three Rings came from Ringling and Barnum and Bailey, I think, because they wanted Three Rings. First, the circus was started by one ring, and it was started by horses. And horses had started the circus, and it was actually military when they had no jobs, started doing training in this ring and doing sort of these fits of acts. And that meant, the fits meant they were actually standing on their horses and rolling around their guns. And so that's how the circus started originally, the modern circus. And so we went to Arabian Nights, where some of the other circus performers were doing other types of acts and horse acts, and all of a sudden Ringling said that they were closing down their Three Rings, going to one, and that scared everybody that was a part of this historic circus movement. And so all of a sudden a lot of the bareback riders started coming. So we got the Zopes, the Donarts, Mark Caroli, who's one of the top comedians, who came out of Hannaford Circus, Tommy and Karen, who say we're not a traditional circus family, but they learned, that's how they learned to do extreme riding. And I'm trying to think some of the other families that came. And then, of course, Timmy Loyal, who his family is so famous that Ringmaster Loyal is in French, that's what the ringmaster is called, is a Loyal. Yes. Oh. So it was so exciting to, and of course, then the, the Mexican family, which was so important, they came as well, and they were one of the traditional people from Mexico. So we got all these families that started coming in and did this great performance. And so we did that in 2006. And then every couple of years, we were trying to sell the pilot. We realized we weren't going to do that. And the circus kept changing. Mm-hmm. And after that, we kept following them and seeing where these people were, how they were still existing, how they were making a living, what was going to happen to these families. And it was the Suarez family. I'm so sorry. I cannot believe that. So it was my favorite. Enrique Sr. Yes, is probably my favorite. I have the biggest crush on Enrique Suarez and his family. And the senior who just gave us such a great interview and really talked about his family coming from Mexico and how his children had tried to continue that art. And how he worked for Hannaford and for Ringling. So we were very lucky to have them all come to Arabian Nights, which has since closed, and you'll see all that in the film. But then when we were finishing, we went back to visit where everybody had gone and what they were doing in their retirement. So you have to see the film because it's amazing,
yes, it is amazing
what has happened to these families and where they went after the circus is closed.
Well, that's what struck me the first time I saw it, is that here you have a project that started over a decade ago, and you were able, as a filmmaker, to create this cohesive storyline, and I was drawn into, I wanted to know what happened next with these people. And I felt like I knew them by the end, which I can't imagine how you feel. You're living in homes with them probably at that, or feel like you are by the end because you know them so well.
Well, yeah, and it takes a while to gain trust. I mean, I adore the Zopes, and it took a while because they already had a film that people were shooting, and it hasn't come out yet. But I know that Alicia, who's so successful now with his own show, and the brothers have all gone on to do other great things. So, you know, that kind of trust, because they're such a lovely family. The Turveys are probably... Karen Turvey is probably one of my best friends. We've stayed close, and she's coming with the girls for Christmas. So I'm so excited because her husband lives in Maine. So they're coming up from, they're working at The Walking Dead and different shows, and they're coming up from Atlanta to, they're going to stop by Philly and I get to see the girls for Christmas. So you get close to everybody you make a film with because you're with them a long time. Sure. And, you know, it's like any relationship. You want to make sure that you're telling their story. You are the fly on the wall, and it should be their story, not your story. And, I was very lucky to be able to tell just a small slice of these people's lives that are so talented.
And I heard you say that, the fly on the wall thing, and back in Pennsylvania. The thing I love about you is that you have been to all these tour stops with your film, and you're accessible to the community, and you want people to understand the power of the story that you've told. And so you came to Camden, to South Carolina when we had a tour stop. You came to Pennsylvania. And I think it's special when you can have a Q&A after a film and actually hear from the filmmaker why they did what they did and how they put that story together. And for people like Alicio and Maceo is his current circus, and they're continuing this. And so even though they might not have the Ringling, you know, the Three Ring or whatever, these families are still riding, they're still doing, and it's very powerful.
Well, they're the experts in their art. I mean, it's just amazing. It should be, and they love what they do. You know, talk about filmmakers loving what they do. That's the other thing, is when you get to tell a story about somebody else is loving what they do and how talented they are, and that they're willing to open up and show you a little bit of their family stresses and, you know, kind of not all the best of them.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yet you're still able to tell the best of them. But they're human,
and you'll see
what the struggle is when you're about to lose your job or you're about to lose your art form, and it's the end of and do people care? We were very lucky to have Dominique Jandot, who's one of the lead historians, came out of the Big Apple Circus, mm-hmm. and he really guided us with the history because he's just on his own loved bareback riding so much, mm-hmm. And so he has a great book out himself. I can't remember the name of the book, but Dominique Jandot is a great author, and himself was a clown many years ago, and had found a lot of these acts early in the 90s, I think, when he was at the Big Apple Circus. And he also has Circopedia.com. So if you're interested at all in the history of the circus, Circopedia is probably one of the best resources online for finding mm-hmm. circus history.
Well, and I think I always come back to Alicia because Lisa had me tell a little bit of his story with one of the horses that was in Maceo, which mm-hmm. is Mafioso, who became the star then of The Mustang,
yes.
which is the Robert Redford film that's just out. And
yes.
so I kind of had a little bit of back and forth with him. He told me a little, and we put that into one of the Spotlight Rescue Series PSA.
Oh, that's
film.
Awesome. So, I haven't seen that. I have to get to see that.
I'm going to send it to you.
Please
yeah.
do.
And
Alicia is so accessible. He really wants to continue his art. His wife, they just had a baby last year, and she's so cute. But Alexa, his wife and his family are, they unfortunately just lost their grandmother who had come here and was also a part of the circus. So we were so glad to be able to have her in the film and mm-hmm. See her. But they have continued this art form, and he has trained so many great horses, and
they're still doing great mm-hmm. things, and people are still able to see it if they want
yes.
to. So
yeah, you can look their schedules online all the time and follow them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to find.
And I know I am also impressed with you as a woman filmmaker because they're not a lot. I guess the thing.
Well, documentary
are
there are now. We're changing. There's actually more, I think, female documentary makers than male.
Oh, good.
And now I think Hollywood said there were, as a director, this is the first year that I think 50% of episodic were from female. My generation, there weren't.
Yes.
But this
yes.
younger generation coming up, it's so wonderful to see that how easy it is and those barriers are down. I mean, they're still
yeah.
there. And I'm about to direct my first narrative scripted piece, which I'm shocked. I didn't think, at my age that and after 30 years of directing documentary and commercial, I'd be given this opportunity. So I'm very excited about that.
So quickly, background. Where did you come? You say my background in what? Tell me about your background.
Oh, I was going to go to law school, and I even took my LSATs, and I had an internship my senior year out of University of Pittsburgh at KDK Television.
Wow.
And was working with Dennis Miller and Arthur Greenwald on a teenage show called Punchline. And I was so lucky. I got to work with these incredible people out of Pittsburgh that were so talented and were my mentors, and I just fell in love with working in stories. And I remember just that's all I wanted to do. So forget law school. I just wanted to do stories. And even though I do a lot of programs on justice because I'm fascinated with justice and cultural preservation are probably my two areas of mm-hmm. Documentary making, but I just worked at CBS for about 10 years. We could call us the CBS family, CBS Babies, and I was in Pittsburgh and San Francisco and L.A. And then I left television for a little bit and started doing international kind of stuff for a big corporate company. And that's where I really learned to direct and learn film. And from there, a couple by the name of Steve and Martha Smith, who started on 60 Minutes, who were really my second group of mentors, and I was so mm-hmm. lucky, taught me to direct film. And then I started directing commercials and doing stuff for Discovery and other cable networks. And so I did it backwards. And then, 20 years later, I decided I wanted to do an indie film and did a film called Digital Dharma about the man who saved Tibetan history, which is mm-hmm. Still doing well. We're about to hit the 10th anniversary next year. And it was really a film that was so close to my heart. And then now this film, and we have a couple other films in the works. And mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm just learning. I'm at the newbie stage of filmmaking myself, and so I'm following what you do and learning from you. And you mentioned something yesterday that really struck me: the labs.
There's that, and I have to do a promotion for them because I just finished first time director narrative Sundance Collab, and so you can apply online. And what Sundance is doing now online for they have these master's classes. It's not that expensive to join, and they do have deals all the time for filmmakers. There's so many wonderful classes. I did the collab, and it was I think it was 8 to 10 weeks, and you get a lot of personal attention. You're doing it on Zoom, and then on Sundays we had a breakout group with other directors and to see what other filmmakers are doing is always wonderful. And we had three wonderful directors that were our teachers and instructors, and then you got one-on-one with them. But I recommend anybody that's interested in film to go to Sundance Collab online now, because they have really great programming, especially writers, producers, directors, documentary, narrative. They're really offering so many wonderful programs that you're not just sort of taking them online, but there's a lot of interactivity going on with that.
That's going to be my next step. Yeah, definitely, definitely. I need to learn a lot more. So, and I know you're rushing out for a flight.
Yes, I got to go. I got a big pitch tomorrow, so I have to go.
We're going to call you back because I want to hear about your next project and hear how it's going.
Well, so hopefully, I'll be in February and March. So I'm crossing my fingers myself that it goes well. We're looking for our lead actors, and I can't wait to be back here because my one friend who came to speak on a panel about brain injury. She's got some great groups she's working with horses and recovery and therapy. So we're going to do some videos for you guys for next year to
wonderful.
Help you out.
That is fabulous. So if people want to learn more about you, how do they do that?
Oh, well, my company's Lunchbox Communications and Lunchbox Films, and you just need to go to lunchboxcity.com, and you'll see us on Facebook, and we have a website that new one's going up this year, and so it's how you can find me. I'm pretty accessible for anybody that needs any answers.
Well, your website, the graphics, for example, on Great Flip Off and your posters and everything, you just do a phenomenal job with all of that.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's the fun part.
Gosh. It's exciting.
It's a team. It's not me. Oh, my gosh. I've been so lucky. I have the best designers and best DPs that I work with. Hillary Hanak was a female DP that I worked with on this. She's incredible. Mm. Gabe did our editing, and also Cody Roman did a lot of our design. So we're very lucky that we have so many people that have helped us and worked with us over the years. Always a great team. That's what it takes to make a film.
Vision to start that off. So
My craziness. Yeah, and then they're very lucky. I'm very lucky. I've gotten great help. Everything's help. It's a big team. It's all a collaboration.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm proud to be part of the team that you're on here.
Well,
I'm
happy with Equus. If it wasn't for you guys and your support, I don't know if we would have ever finished this film. So thank you.
I have a feeling you would.
Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
And we'll see you again soon.
I can't wait to hear about your next film.
Oh, me too.
Please be sure to tune in next week when Julianne and I have another interesting conversation with one of our Equus Film and Arts Fest filmmakers, artists, or authors.